All right. What a blessed day. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we're going to be continually looking at Jesus' ministries, the things that Jesus did when he was here on earth, went about doing good, healing the sick, saving people, going to the cross, died for our sins, give us eternal life. So this morning, as we look at our scripture, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 9, we're going to see two things that Jesus was involved in this particular day, and how the scripture in the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are the synoptic gospels, and John the fourth gospel, seeing things together, telling the same story, but just in a different way. And some of the scriptures, I'm taking the New King James Version and others, New American Standard, but this gives us an idea of the translations of how the gospels relate the message of Jesus Christ, and how these disciples who wrote these particular books viewed it and saw it and was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. And the disciples were with Jesus this particular day as he went about his normal task of meeting people and teaching them about who he was and is, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. So if you will look with me in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18, I'll read through verse 26. While he was saying these things, now let me go back, and Matthew was called in verse 9, and then got down into verse 14, and they was asking Jesus a bunch of questions. He was answering those. And then when we get to verse 18, we will see the miracles starting to take place here. And that's why Matthew says, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before Jesus and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, so did the disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years, it was a blood disease that she had, came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, not out loud, but to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. All at once, the woman was made well. She was healed. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in a noisy disorder, he said, leave, for this girl has not died, but she is asleep. And they began laughing at Jesus. But when the crowd had been sent out, Jesus entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout that land. Now, after reading the scriptures and taking all this in and trying to make application to our lives today, how Jesus, he was ministering, He was sitting, evidently, according to the scripture, he was sitting down, but this man came and said, my daughter is dying or is dead, but I know that you can heal her. And then the lady with the hemorrhage on the way. Another situation for Jesus. So when we look at our days and everything, we live in a busy and fast-paced world. And I'm sure Jesus did as well, didn't he? He lived in a fast pace. I mean, there's people always coming to Jesus wanting something, wanting healing, or knew that Jesus could provide it. And I'm sure that many of you have noticed just how busy your life can be. It's overwhelming sometimes. And a lot of times we get caught up to our to-do list. Everybody has to-do lists, right? And sometimes they don't get all those to-do lists don't get all done in one day. And we focus on our goals and our tasks, and we often forget about our relationships with people. Jesus knew all about that. So we are so driven that we have to schedule, you know, our kids and our husbands and our wives and moms and dads, just to get in the slot that is left. And this way, this doesn't include friends and other acquaintances that we have. Now, we need to make time, you know, to what matters. So how do we change this? And how do we stop letting opportunities that I would say are pass us up by turning and showing interest, you know, into other people's lives, like Jesus? And there are good times or good questions to consider, especially for those of us seeking to share the love of Jesus Christ and making an eternal impact on the lives of people, just like Jesus did. And there's an answer to these questions just in observing the way that Jesus responded to people's needs, as we will see in the scriptures this morning. Now, first of all, Jesus had in mind a goal to accomplish, and he went about that each day, and that was meeting people, offering them salvation. First of all, sometimes he healed them, and then he saved them. But here we read here that the ruler approached Jesus, but he worshiped Jesus. He knew who Christ. He knew Christ, and he worshiped him. And then he requested Jesus to heal his daughter. Now, this man, as both Mark and Luke say in Mark 5:22 and here in Luke 8:41 and here in Matthew 9, and his name was Jairus. And he was a ruler of not the Sanhedrin or some lesser council, but of the synagogue of Capernaum. And if you look and read the Gospels, the Capernaum, and so forth, that is where Jesus spent much of his ministry, going about doing good, healing people, saving people, and just being around people was Capernaum. And you hear that and you read in the Gospel about Capernaum. But if you read and look at the paths that Jesus took, many of them wound back up in Capernaum, and that's where he was to stay. And whom the Jews called the head of the synagogue. That's who Jairus was. He was head of the synagogue. And his request was for Jesus to come to his house, lay hands on his daughters, and bring her back to life, for she had just died. Now, that's what they were thinking. Jesus knew something different. He says, "My daughter lies at the point of death." In other words, not entirely dead, but close to it. Now, Jesus and his disciples, as soon as they heard this request from Jairus, they got up and they went. They had a destination inside. Jesus had a destination before all of this took place, where he was going through Capernaum doing ministry. He had this inside in the roof house, and taking a task in mind, healing his daughter. In other words, Jesus and his disciples, they had a goal. And it's good to have a goal in sight. However, we need to be careful not to be goal-oriented, that we miss an opportunity for ministry that lies around us or ahead of us, or whatever may come. Also, we can become so focused, think about it, so focused on trying to appear productive and doing for the sake of doing, that we might forget the real purpose behind our efforts, because we get so busy, as I mentioned earlier. We get so busy, and sometimes we lose sight of what we're doing. So it is all too common for individuals in ministry to become overly focused on small and then mental tasks, and then forget to take time for people around us. Ministering is what Jesus did. Now, moving on, Jesus was flexible along the way. And that's how we need to be. We need to be observant, and we need to be flexible. You see, Jesus, he had a destination. He had a purpose for that day. And then other things took place. And then he made it possible. He was flexible in his day of ministry. So the scripture says here that Jesus and his disciples had a goal in mind of tending to the ruler's daughter. And suddenly, now if you go to the New King James Version, it uses this word, "and suddenly," as he was going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, "and suddenly," have you ever noticed how life has an unexpected way of springing up the all and suddenlies? I had one of those this week. I had a destination. I was going in that direction, I thought. And then Brenda reminded me, "Where are you going?" And I told her where we was going. She said, "Not this way, you're not." And I got to thinking, you know, maybe God took us on this passage so we could spend some more time together. Right? That's what I said, right, Brenda? And I said, maybe he took this detour for us, because we never know what's up ahead of us and so forth. So I did go quite a few miles out of the way, but we got back on our destination, and we got there safely and sound and back home. Same day. So suddenly some things happen, you know. I wasn't expecting it, certainly Brenda, but you know, we would have wound up somewhere else if she hadn't said something. So at least, you know, we think that our initial task or problem was huge until "and suddenly" came along. And Jesus and his disciples were immediately confronted with someone who had another difficult physical condition, a flow of blood for 12 years. You think about that. This lady had suffered with a hemorrhage of bleeding for 12 years. And she knew that Jesus was the answer. And this woman was at the end of her rope. Can you imagine? People who suffered with different diseases and things in their life. We know that on the physical side, you know, they're unknowns, but on the divine side, we know who to go to. And she went to Jesus. And she came behind and touched his garment, the hem of his garment. And you just think, touching the hem of Jesus' garment, the power of the Holy Spirit moved through that into her life and made her complete. She came from behind because she was ashamed to come before him and tell her case face to face, especially in front of so many people of that day. She was probably afraid that if her case was known, that she would suddenly be thrust aside or thrust away, being according to the law of the unclean person and unfit for society, just like the lepers. They could not live within the city. They was outcast. And she felt that way as well. But she wanted to meet Jesus just to touch his garment, knowing that there was a great possibility that she would be healed. And touching the hem of the garment would have been seen as offensive action to anyone other than Jesus. Jesus, however, did not become offended, but instead he stopped what he was doing, turned around, and encouraged this woman because she had faith. Jesus knew her. He could read her. He knew her heart. And he had compassion upon her and saw the faith that she had. So if Jesus had not stopped, who knows what her life would have been, what her fate would have been. In Mark chapter 5, verse 26, we read that she had suffered many things from many physicians or doctors. She had spent all that she had and was no better, rather had gotten worse. She had visited many physicians and was not getting any better. She would have likely never been healed had Jesus not taken the time to stop and pay attention to her. Jesus had previously engaged and he was pressing towards his destination in mind. However, he was flexible along the way. And that's the way Jesus is. He took time to heal this lady. So, the Lord, too, calls us to serve him in order to impact the lives of other people. And we do. We do a good job of that. But all too often we find ourselves in such a frenzy trying to serve the Lord that we fail to recognize that the answer is staring us right in the face. Sometimes we miss the obvious. And the Lord often calls us to minister to people who are immediately in our life or in our path, rather than someone in another place or a moment of time. So we must remember that life is about the journey. Life is about the journey that we're on. And people we meet along the way, and again, I mentioned that word, it's not the destination. We have a destination, we have a goal in mind, but sometimes that suddenly steps in, alters our course, and we go in that direction. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And that's exactly what we need to do sometimes. Things happen unexpectedly. But sometimes it's for the good reason, and we just take it as God's intervention in our lives. All right, the third thing I want us to look at this morning, Jesus refocused on his initial task. So after healing this lady, Jesus got back on his course, the task he was going to do that moment when Jairus came up to him. Jesus took time out for someone else, but he still made it his intention, destination, at a crucial task. When he arrived, however, he saw a flute players and a noisy crowd of people. Now, what are we thinking here? A flute player, a noisy crowd. Well, people often showed up in situations like this. They showed up to make gain for themselves, and this flute was entertaining and so forth. And the other people, they was wailing and making noise and so forth. They had nothing to do with this sick girl. And that's why Jesus knew their hearts. When he arrived, he told everyone to make room for the girl. It's not dead, but sleeping. And that's in verse 24. Perhaps Jesus was referring to the death as a state of sleep, and often Jesus did. You know, everybody thought she was dead, but she was a... Jesus said, she's only sleeping. Or maybe he meant that she was not really dead at all, but extremely sick. So Mark did testify how that she was at the point of death, according to Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Whatever the case might have been, they ridiculed Jesus. They laughed, thinking she was dead, but Jesus said he's asleep. And that's how often they did Jesus. They ridiculed him. That's why he went to the cross, because he's real cute and mocked and despised. And Jesus wanted only the people who were sensitive. He knew their hearts. That's why he only wanted those that were sensitive to the needs of others to be with him for the healing miracle. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 51, we learned that the only ones allowed inside the house were Peter, James, John's, and the girl's father and the mother. Because that was the support group. Those were the ones that were sensitive, caring, and compassionate like Jesus. He knew their hearts. He didn't need those other people around because they was disbelievers, mocking and laughing, having a good time. Jesus was about doing ministry. Jesus then took the girl by the hand and told her to rise, and at that moment she was healed, and then she arose in verse 25. That was a miracle. God does miracles today, doesn't he? I've seen miracles happen. And sometimes things doesn't happen the way that we would want. But in this case here, Jesus was teaching an example to believe in the power of the Almighty God, the Father. First of all, because he loved him. Now, in our conclusion this morning, genuinely showing interest in other people begins by sincerely loving with the unconditional love of Jesus. Jesus loves us unconditionally. He does. That's why he went to the cross and died for our sins. And the Apostle Paul once declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, for Christ's love compels us. See, compels us. That means draws us to other people. The love of others compelled Jesus to meet their needs. And then in verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Jesus didn't see him that way. And that's why, you know, John 3:16 and verse 17 is so important, for God so loved the world. And then, because he gave his only begotten Son, and who believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And in verse 17 it said that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that everyone through Jesus Christ might be saved. You see how the scriptures relate the love of Jesus and his compassion and the ministry and the task that he came to do. And on the cross he said, it's finished. It's complete, saying that, you know, my life is not done. I'm not, it's all over. But the task that I came to do and the impact that he made on this world has been everlasting through generations and generations and thousands of years. And it's still making an impact today. So, the love of Jesus Christ will compel us to view others with concern, compassion, rather than seeing them as distractions in our own plans. See, our plans changed, just like Jesus' plans changed. They were altered temporarily, but he got back on course, pursuing the Father's obedience in all ways. And that's a good lesson for us. Studying and reading and about Jesus' ministry and his desire to reach people. And that's why he put us here. That's why we, here at Versailles Baptist Church, has planted us to do that. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for showing us in the scriptures your compassionate love. And even though we get so busy, we have a task that we, and a journey that we're on each day. And sometimes it suddenly gets altered a little bit. But we take that moment to show the love of Christ. We never know what it's going to be. But we need to always be prepared. Be prepared by scriptures, knowing what to say at the right time to encourage someone, pointing in your direction. And that's why you put us here. As we are believers in you and carry the name Christian, Lord, we are to be just like you in our journey here on this earth, and reaching out to people, reaching out to one another, taking time to share and to listen and show love. Whatever the need is today, Lord, if it's salvation, Lord, you provide that. You've met our needs up to this point, and you will continually meet our needs as we lean upon you and trust you with our lives. And then, Lord, sometimes you, through meeting those needs, you lead us and show us your compassion as you died on the cross to provide us for salvation. There's many, many needs here in this congregation this morning. We all come into this house, your house, with various needs, with various concerns. And Lord, you can meet each one of them if we bring them to you and lead them at your feet and leave the results to you. Lord, that's what we need to do. And when we do that, Lord, we can have peace of mind, peace of heart, knowing that our lives will be secure in you. Anyone listening today that doesn't know you, or whatever that need is, Lord, you can meet it. Not on our terms, but your terms, Lord, and we accept that. And we thank you in advance Lord, as we trust in you, trust you with our lives, Lord, it's all be good, it all be well. We praise and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing, I'm praying for you.